Good morning. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate the faith that it took for you to get here this morning. So thank you for your faith. It's encouraging to share faith. My name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I also am a high school teacher. So if I look at the weather, it looks like summer is still full blast. It is still summer. If I look at the district calendar, it says today is the last day of summer. So summer is over. Tomorrow is school. So ready or not, here we go. Another year. So it'll be interesting as a teacher. I'm probably going to be speaking here about every 6 weeks. And so it's nice to get to share with you guys this morning. So we're in the middle of a series called High Calling Discipleship, and we're looking at some of the teachings of Jesus, and just, he sets a really high bar on what it means to be his follower, his disciple, his a learner of Jesus. And so Steve kicked us off on that. I just encourage you guys, if you didn't hear the first couple, they're on our website under resources. You can listen to those teachings. If you want the full effect, you should watch YouTube so you can see Steve like a full demonstration of what it means to put Jesus's words into practice and the strength of that. So kind of part of what we've been looking at, Jesus says to take the log out of our own eye before we look at what's in someone else's eye, and to look at ourselves and to be honest with some of the things inside of ourselves. And that's hard. That's not for sissies. Like, that's kind of tough. It's way easier to look at the things outside of us, I think, than to really look at ourselves and to have the courage to go there. And so I just encourage us today. As another disclaimer in that, today I'm going to be talking about anger. And for me, anger is something that is scary for me. I'm scared of my own anger. I'm scared of other people's anger. It, in my life, has been unpredictable and unsafe. And God is meeting me there and growing me in that. But even as we talk about anger, there might be some things that come up in you. And I just want to give you the space to, like, if you need to duck out and go to the bathroom and just, or just where you're at, just kind of ground yourself in God's love. I think that is really the place to engage in this stuff, is from that really secure place of God's deep, permanent, personal, unconditional love. And from that place, we can look at some of these hard things. Just a second disclaimer. Some of the things I'm going to share, you might see slightly differently. I think even Steve would see some of those slightly differently. Give him a chance. And I would love to dialogue on some of those later. If it's like, yeah, I think it's more like this. And I would love that conversation. But I trust that there's something in it for all of us, and that God has some things he wants to say, even if you might approach things slightly differently than I do. All right, so let's pray, and we're going to look at anger. So thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together to share faith. Thank you for the encouragement. I thank you for this family. I thank you for being in my life, for who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness, even when I am faithless. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you for the steadfast bedrock foundation of your love. I thank you that you've shown me your love more and more. Thank you that in that we can look at these things. God, I ask that you would give us open hearts. I ask that you would speak what you want to speak into these places. I pray you would grow us deeper. Holy Spirit, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have never been in an all-out fist fight in my life. I wrestled in high school, so I was in plenty of matches, where the guy would have loved to beat me up, but there's like a referee and there's rules and stuff. And I enjoyed if they got angry. That was usually to my benefit. I've been in some really intense fights with my brothers growing up, but we never went fisticuffs. I've been punched in the face a couple of times by people who were angry at me, but I've never been in a full-out fist fight. And I've been close a few times. One of the times that was close, I was in college, and my freshman year, I was a hot-headed 18-year-old, and I like to stir the waters, stir the pot a little bit. I've calmed down a lot, but I used to enjoy that, and I felt like people needed that a little bit. And there was a guy on my dorm floor that was 15. He went to college when he was 15. He was a physics major. He was really smart, slightly nerdy. You can only imagine a 15-year-old physics major in college. And there was a lot of like practical jokes on our dorm floor. That was just kind of the nature of it. And so one day we were hanging out in the hall, and I was in his room or by his room, and he had a bottle of lotion. I said, "Hey, can I have just a little squirt of your lotion to rub on Aaron's doorknob? You know, that would be a great prank." So it didn't cross the line. Some of them do, and there's a lot of stories. But he's like, "No, you can't have any of my lotion." I was like, "Come on, man. Like, it's just like one squirt of lotion. It's not like I'm going to take your whole bottle. It's not going to bother you." I don't know if he's like doesn't want to be an accomplice to one of the worst things that's been done, or if he just really wanted to protect Aaron. He's like, "No, you can't have any of my lotion." I'm like, "Seriously? Like, I can't just have like one little squirt of your lotion. Like, what's the problem?" And he's like, "No, you can't. Get out of my room." And so I sat down on his bed and I said, "I'll leave as soon as you give me some lotion." And so he picked up a bowling pin, which was like surplus from the bowling alley. And I don't know if you've ever seen a real bowling pin, but they're like solid wood and they're heavy. And he said, "Get out of my room or I'm going to hit you with this." And I said, "You better knock me out or I'm going to stand up and I'm going to beat the tar out of you." I may have used different words, but. And so I'm sitting on the bed and he whacked me with the bowling pin right in the knee. Boom! And when I came down, my freshman year, I had grown out my hair kind of long. When I came down, he reached across and grabbed me by the back of the hair. And he drug me out of his room while I'm peeling off his hands. When we got to the door, I peeled his hands off my hair. And I was ready just to open up on this kid. And a bunch of guys in the dorm came and grabbed me. They're like, "Hey, don't do it, don't do it. You'll regret it." I guess you shouldn't beat up minors, but we were both freshmen. And they grabbed me and they said, "Don't do it, you will regret it." And I said, "Yeah, I might regret it tomorrow, but I won't regret it right now." That's what I said. And in this moment, I don't care about tomorrow. I don't care what damage I do. I don't care if I get something on my record. In this moment, all I want to do is punch this little twerp right in the nose. And I'm glad I didn't, because it's not that day anymore. It's the next day. And the strange thing about anger is anger, it's not a rational place. It's not a place that is in line with all the goals and dreams that we have for our lives. It's like something that wells up in us, and it can even take control of us. But what I want to share is we are not like victims to anger. We actually have things we can do about our anger. God actually offers some healing into the places that bring out our anger. We don't have to respond out of them and live in them and do things that we regret. If we made a list of all the things that we regret doing in anger in this room, we'd have a pretty big list. But we're not just victims to that. Jesus says in Matthew 5:21, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Wow. Okay, so I thankfully, in God's grace, have never murdered anyone. But Jesus is saying, "But I tell you, if you've been angry, you're subject to judgment." And again, it's easy to point the finger. Well, I'm not like a murderer. But then to look at the damage that my anger has done in people's lives, even lives of people I love. And he goes on to say, again, "Anyone who says to his brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." And so I just read through a commentary. So raca is a Hebrew word, which is why they didn't translate it like the rest of the Greek. And it kind of means like empty head. Empty head! And this is like apparently a really bad word, enough that you could be called into the Jewish court for using this word. Like, you're going to the principal's office for that word. It's a serious word. But he's saying, if you say "you fool," the Greek word is like moron. If you say moron, you're in danger of the fire of hell. And I don't really know which word is worse, which, like, is raca or moron, is which. I don't think that's really the point. But he's saying there's like rules against this, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't say that. But even things there aren't rules about, these have serious consequences, enough that God will judge us for them. If there is anger in our life that is strong enough for us to insult another person, that will be judged. That's pretty high bar, Jesus. And so, what do we do with that? I want to kind of just look at anger, some of my observations. Why do we get angry? And so I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to give you guys 30 seconds to think about this. What makes you angry? Or another way to say that, what are situations where you are tempted to be angry? So you got 30 seconds to think about that, just between you and God. Anybody want to courageously yell something out? What's a situation that makes you angry?
Embarrassment.
Is that what you said? Yeah, absolutely. Embarrassment. So it's like, I'm embarrassed and anger's going to come out. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So somebody else raises their voice, they're getting angry, and it's like, okay, here we go. Yep, sure, absolutely. What was it? Driving? Yeah, that's the classic, yeah. Not in El Paso, but I've heard other places can have frustrating drivers. Yeah. Totally. Disrespect? Okay. If you're disrespected, it's like triggers some anger. Okay, when you have someone to do something, maybe they're younger, and they say no. Okay, it's like, it turns the knob up on the pot. All right, so I want to go a little deeper, and I just encourage you guys in your anger to go deeper with God. And so let's go a little deeper. Why do those situations make you angry? Let me give you a little time to think about that. Why do those situations make you angry? So I'm not going to have people comment on this. It's getting a little more personal. But I think it's really healthy to actually look at those things, look a little deeper. Like, okay, somebody cuts us off in traffic and we want to beat them up and like
tell them things, and it's like, why? What just happened? Totally, if I had that one spot, it was just, that was the difference. It's like, it was not about the 10 seconds. That's not what it was about. It might be about this sense that we're not valued. It might actually be about this sense that we've been taken advantage of over and over in our life, and this person's not going to do it again. There's some deeper roots going on there, and that's kind of what I want to encourage us in today, is to let God speak into those. And so the main point today is that it might seem like the cause of anger is something outside of us. Why do I get angry? Because of that. But really, why do I get angry? Because of this. Because of something inside of me. And I'm responsible for that. In fact, God judges that. And we need to be careful not to say or do things from anger. It's really important. And even more than just picking the fruit, we're going to look at this analogy. We need to address the inner root of anger. And I encourage us to do it with compassion and with honesty. Okay, so that's the main thing we're going to plow through this. Why do we get angry? So first point, it is caused by something inside of us. It's easy to say, oh, it was out there, it was that. And even some of our language, rather than saying like, oh, I felt really irritated today, we might say, there were lots of irritations today. Or instead of saying, man, I'm annoyed, we would say, that person's annoying. Or instead of saying, oh, I'm so mad, say, they made me mad. Or even if we own it, yeah, I'm mad, but they deserve it. They pushed me to it. And also I encourage us, even sometimes I like don't own my anger, because I put it in other words. I'm not angry, I'm just annoyed, irritated, frustrated, upset. Yeah, it's like, well, that sounds nicer, but it's just low-grade anger. And why? What's going on? So it's caused by something inside of us, and also it's usually subconscious. It's not like any of us plans, like, you know what I'm going to do? Man, today when I'm driving, if somebody pulls out in front of me, here's my plan. I'm going to go, I'm going to do this. It's like, it's completely subconscious. In fact, sometimes it seems like it's just totally out of our control. Like a button just got pushed, and boom, there it is. Where did that come from? It's like, it's subconscious in that. And there's a couple different types of anger. You know, one is just that sudden burst of anger. Like somebody leaves the cabinet door open in the kitchen, and I bang my head on it. Oh, and then I shut it really hard. And they're like, oh, okay. Or even worse, I'm sitting on the couch, and I got a beautiful kid that I love on my lap, and they headbutt me right in the face with the back of their head, and I throw them off my lap. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. It just happened. And another type of anger is when I feel myself angry, and I say, I don't care. I'm going with this anger. I feel it. There's the surge, and then I own it. And I'm going to let it rip. Whatever comes out of my mouth, whatever I do, I may regret it tomorrow, but I won't regret it right in this moment. And so there's these subconscious roots to it. Enough that I think some people can be shocked, like, whoa, what just happened? But sometimes I'm shocked, like, what just happened? Why am I angry? Another thing that's interesting to me is that our anger is learned. We learn to get angry. It's sad, but statistically, abusive people were abused. Statistically, people who are abused have a higher chance of being abusive. If you look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 22:24, it's on the back of your handout. It says, don't make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Interesting thing there, ensnared. It's almost like it comes and possesses us. Another thing that, just thoughts on why we get angry. Getting angry, we use it to get big. Anger is a way to get big. And the reasons we need to get big are various reasons. Sometimes I've heard people say, you know, nobody takes me serious unless I get angry. My kids won't listen to me unless I'm angry. I need to get big to do this. And I felt this a lot as a teacher, where it was like, there's times when my words and just my calmness, my whatever, doesn't have enough clout. And I just need to get big. And then somebody will listen to me. And so when I get big, I will get that respect I want. And even if you look at some of the words we use with anger, like, that's it. I've had enough. I'm tired of this. That's the last straw. Oh, you want to play that way? Okay. It's like, here's the line, and that line, it was crossed. And, or you're threatening that line. And what is that line? That line is what? What's on the other side of that line? We're like, that's it. You crossed the line. Like, what's there? Like, it's injustice on the other side of that line. And that injustice is experienced as hurt, as harm, or threat of harm to either ourselves or someone we love or something we love. And that injustice is threatening it. And so to protect that line, we need to get big. And God has ways of allowing us to have strength without anger. And those are a lot more challenging. But we can learn to walk in those. It says a gentle word can crush a bone. Our gentle words can have strength, not just anger. So, why is that such a big deal? Why is it a big deal to act or speak out of anger? At the end of the day, it does more harm than good. And in James 1:20, it says, human anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. It's like, but God, I'm trying to protect injustice. I'm protecting harm. I am caring for things. It's like, that's not the way to do it. And when we do that, we're overstepping. We're going into God's territory. It is God's job to bring justice. It is not my job. In Romans 12, it says, do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. It is not my responsibility to bring justice. And so, I have to learn how to trust God. I have to learn how to trust that God is in control, not me. I have to learn how to trust that God is the defender, not me. I have to learn to trust that God is strong when I'm weak. I have to learn to trust that God will bring about justice, not me. But sometimes God doesn't do it the way I want him to. He doesn't do it soon enough. He doesn't do it strong enough. He does it with too much compassion, too slow. But it's God's job. Will we trust him to be big when we're small? So how do we deal with our anger? In Matthew 12:33, it says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Really fascinating. So Jesus is saying what comes out of us is based on what's inside of us. It is the type of tree that produces the type of fruit. What's fascinating to me is that God knows what type of tree we are, but it says, how are we going to be judged? We're going to be judged by the type of fruit that came out of us. Wait, I thought God cared about our faith, our heart, not our works. Like, well, yes, but how do you know what's inside of a person? By what comes out of them. God's going to judge us based on what comes out of us, not because that's what he's judging, but because that's what reflects what is inside of us. We need to deal with that fruit. We need to cut off that fruit of anger that is hurting people with words and actions that we hope will bring good, but is not. We need to stop that. But then the second part is we need to let God address the root of the tree, what is inside of there. So what is the root? In my understanding, as I've kind of dug into this the last few years, is that the root are these beliefs that we have, these core beliefs. And it's not just what you say you believe, but it's what we truly believe. It's what comes out in those moments when we can't filter. It's what comes out in those moments we fail, when the moment somebody we love fails. It's the moment those we see a snapshot into what's inside of us. And those beliefs, and the beliefs that are so important, are what we believe about ourselves and what we believe about God. And I appreciated even Jairus talking about that this morning. You know, to really know that we know that God is good, the fruit that comes out of that is so different than the doubt of like, man, God, today hurts. I'm not sure if you're good. We're going to have different fruit that comes out of those beliefs. And about ourselves, man, I am a beloved child of God, unconditionally, perfectly, personally, eternally, wonderfully, beautifully loved by my Creator. That changes what comes out of me. It changes how I feel. It changes how I act. It changes how I speak. And so it is God's transforming work of His Spirit to transform the depths of who we are, not just those actions that are coming out. Although, again, some of us need to just cut some of that fruit off. We need to eliminate some of it. But it's going to keep growing unless we actually look at the root and see what's going on there. Okay, I want to, again, we're just going to take a small moment. I'm going to pass this off to you with a couple questions to just kind of look at some of our own anger and maybe some of the roots of it. And so the first question, I just give you a short time, is when in your life have you experienced injustice, mistreatment, or hurt? It's not the funnest thing to look at. In fact, probably wouldn't want to look at that if I didn't ask you to, and you might not even if I do. But I want to invite you, with the honesty and compassion of God, to look at that. Where in your life have you experienced injustice, mistreatment, or hurt? And then the second question, would you be willing to let God comfort that wrong that was done to you and hand over responsibility of justice to Him? Would you be willing to let God have that and to comfort it and for Him to deal with it, not take it into your own hands? Some of you guys are like, I already said yes in my mind. Move on. But I think that's easier said than done sometimes. Would I really let God touch that? Like, no. No touchy God. That one hurts. Would we allow him to go to those places? There may have been times in our lives when we were not seen. When we were neglected, ignored, overlooked, not valued, snubbed. It makes sense that those would cause us to be angry. It makes sense we would want to be big so those would not happen again. There may have been times in our lives when we, or maybe those we love, experienced injustice, were hurt, taken advantage of, mistreated, or disrespected. And it makes sense those would cause us to be angry. That they would cause us to learn to get big so it can't happen again. There may have been times in our lives when we were ridiculed, we were mocked, embarrassed, insulted, disrespected, and it makes sense that those would cause us to be angry. They would cause us to learn to get big so those wouldn't happen again. There may have been times when we were not protected, we were vulnerable, we were afraid, we felt helpless. And it makes sense that those would cause us to be angry, that they would cause us to learn to be big so we wouldn't have to face those again. But God wants to heal those. God wants to transform those. It's interesting that in Ephesians 4, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, it starts with, in your anger, don't sin. Like, you're going to get angry. If anybody here never gets angry, I don't, like, talk to me later. I want to, either you're a robot or something weird's going on, but I don't want to know your secret or you're really weird, but in your anger, don't sin. That's really good. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Like, deal with it. Deal with your anger today. He's saying, deal with your anger today. Do not give the devil a foothold. Those things inside of us that we don't deal with become roots of bitterness, roots of other things, roots of anger, depression, isolation. Saying they become a stronghold. Do not neglect to deal with those. We must continue to forgive. And I say this to myself, Dove, keep pursuing forgiveness. As long as you're alive, keep pursuing forgiveness. Deal with those things. Forgiveness doesn't say, oh, this wrong didn't matter, didn't hurt the person, oh, they didn't mean it. It says, that hurt, that was jacked up. That shouldn't have happened. And I release it to you, God. You can bring justice. I am no longer chained to this person. I let them go because I don't want to be chained to them. It is so hard to keep forgiving. We must continue to deal with those roots. And as we look at them, where are they coming from? May we be honest before God, because God accepts you in all of your nakedness, in all of your brokenness. And may we see his compassion. Yeah. Did you want to throw something in? Sure. Yeah. Sure. So she said it's easy to forgive, but it's hard to forget. And we've done a few teachings on forgiveness. I would love to dig into that more, because you can completely forgive somebody and still remember everything. It doesn't mean you have to forget. It means you choose not to remember. And so in this moment, sure, it's there. I did not forget it. I'm deliberately choosing not to remember that. And there's a difference. You can't forget that stuff. You can't forget what you saw and felt and experienced, but you can forgive it. You can choose not to remember it. You can choose to let it go. And it is a process. There have been people I have had to forgive, and I thought I completely forgave them. And then the next week I had to forgive them again. And the next week I had to forgive them again. Does it mean it wasn't real the first time? No, it was real. And it goes again. And it's a process. Yeah. There's a lot we could say about forgiveness. It's an amazing thing. But to allow God into those places, to touch them, to know his comfort, to know that he cared about that. I want to share just a few phrases. They come from a book called Joyful Journey. And they're phrases that have been important to me. And they're phrases of God speaking to us. So I'm going to read them as God speaking to us. And I just want you to receive those in that place, whatever place brings your anger. My dear child, I can see you. I hear what you are saying to yourself. I understand how big this is for you. I understand how you feel. I value you. I am glad to be with you. I view your weaknesses tenderly. I can do something about what you are going through. These are amazing phrases in the book, which I haven't read. I've just been introduced to it. They encourage people to like go into those phrases more. What is God saying in those? I believe every single one of these phrases is true, and that God would speak all of them to you at this moment. God cares about you, and he is big where we are weak. I was going to throw one more thing in. I'm going to leave it there. Let's pray. God, thank you that you care for us and for what's inside of us. God, I pray that you would give me the courage to be honest before you with the roots of my anger. I pray that you would help me to be careful when I'm angry, not to hurt those I love, to try to bring good and justice to this world that's not mine to bring. God, I ask that you would help us to know the depths of your compassion, to connect with how deeply you love us. God, I invite you into the root of my anger, into the places that are below the surface. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.